This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. As state lawmakers search for money to fix the roads, they've been eyeing the budget of the Michigan Economic Development Corporation and the Pure Michigan campaign. The recently passed state budget cut funding for the MEDC by $15 million, and the road funding quest could cut even more. With all of that has come debate about the effectiveness of Pure Michigan. The MEDC oversees Pure Michigan. There have been some wildly differing reports on just how effective Pure Michigan is, which got us wondering, how can a set of numbers serve up such hugely different conclusions? And how are we supposed to figure out what's true and what isn't? Well, let's see if we can try to sort this out as we say hello to Michigan State University economics professor Charlie Ballard. Charlie, it's always good to have you and your economist brain with us.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be on your program.
So, Charlie, here's what got us puzzled. The Mackinac Center for Public Policy released a preliminary report on the effectiveness of government spending on tourism, and it states that for every dollar spent in tourism promotion programs like Pure Michigan, it generates just one penny extra spending at motels and hotels, the accommodations industry. On the other hand, the MEDC tells us every dollar spent on Pure Michigan generates $6.87 in return. That is a big gap. What's going on?
You know, in the physical sciences, the physicists can accurately measure things down to 10 decimal places.
Yes.
The mathematicians can do that. When you're dealing with economics and political issues, you're dealing with people, and people are much harder to quantify. We have to make assumptions that may or may not be fully correct. Basically, if you wanted to do the study right, you would say, what would the world have looked like without Pure Michigan, and what would it look like with Pure Michigan, holding constant everything else? But it's really difficult to hold constant everything else. And that's the art and the science of doing these kind of studies. And it's not easy. I don't want to make your listeners think that we just can't trust any studies. But it is inherently difficult. And I think it's also true, unfortunately, that if you've got an ideological bias, that might enter into your decisions about what you include in your study.
So, Charlie, what I think I hear you saying is one group will do its study, and in the heart of that study and all the details, there are things they look at. There's a set of parameters. Other group, same thing. They've got their own set of parameters, so they may not be exactly the same. You get different results, but the public hears that big one bottom line conclusion.
Exactly. Unfortunately, of course, the public doesn't have much of a way to evaluate what's in the guts of the study. Let me give you an example.
Yeah.
Let's say it's 1961 and President Kennedy suggests that we should fly to the moon. Well, you could do a cost-benefit analysis of that. And if you were to define the benefits in the narrowest possible way, what would you say? You would say it would cost many billions of dollars to land a man on the moon, and all we would get would be a couple of hundred pounds of rocks.
True.
Well,
you could
do that. But I would assert that that wouldn't be the right way to do it. That's one way to do it. But in fact, I believe that the moonshot was a good program. And yet, some of the things that I would include in the calculation are very difficult to measure. Some of them are sort of not too hard to measure, like we had improvements in computers and telecommunications and all that, that were direct spinoffs of the space program. But on the other hand, I think we had a huge boost to American national pride. And how do you put a dollar value on that? It's extremely hard. Similar to the Pure Michigan. I actually like the Pure Michigan campaign. One reason that I like it is that in Michigan, we have had a tough period economically. GM and Chrysler and the city of Detroit have all gone bankrupt. Mm-hmm. It's easy to become discouraged, and I love the Pure Michigan campaigns because they put emphasis on what a beautiful place this is, and they tell that to us here at home, and they tell it to the rest of the world. But, of course, that's an extremely difficult thing to put a dollar value on.
So when we hear these kinds of reports, how is the public supposed to figure them out and know what to accept?
Well, I wish I had an easy answer for you, Cindy, but the best we can do is to have as many studies as we can. It helps if you've got more than one. And if you've got one study that says there's $6.73 benefit for every dollar of expenditure, and if you've got another that says there's a penny of benefit for every expenditure, at least you can probably think that the answer is somewhere in between, the true answer. But I would say again, the true answer is not easy to find. If we did 10 studies, I'll bet they would be in a much narrower range, and yet they wouldn't all give exactly the same number.
Interesting. And, you know, as you say that, we often see that in public health, don't we? You'll get a study that says, don't drink coffee. And then here comes another study saying, yes, it is good for you. And the public will say, I don't know what to believe. I'm not believing any of you. I mean, you do hear that kind of conversation.
Absolutely. And there's a real danger in that, because if the public turns off and says, I can't believe anything, then, especially in the public health arena that you mentioned, that can be really dangerous. Because I think the accumulation of evidence over time is probably pushing us in the right direction. But it takes time, and it takes careful reexamination of the data before we narrow down our estimate of what's going on in public health and in Pure Michigan and in so many other places.
Talking numbers and crunching data and trying to make sense of it with Michigan State Economics Professor Charlie Ballard. Always a pleasure, Charlie. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.